You're listening to the Yeshiva of Newark podcast. I'm your host and curator, Rabbi Avram Kibalevich, and I hope you enjoy this episode. In the summer of 2019, months before the COVID pandemic would fuel a massive expansion of podcast availability, an eventual acceptance of this medium even from the most conservative religious circles, the Yeshiva of Newark launched its platform, fusing an enlightened series of shiurim and contemporary topics presented uncompromisingly with serious interviews and dialogue with important figures in education, psychology, and mystical thought. The result shone important shafts of light on hitherto unnoticed problems and suggesting real solutions. During the global shutdown of in-person learning options and forced quarantines, hundreds of searchers across multiple time zones joined our Zoom live events every afternoon and evening. Sophisticated classes described the fundamentals of Talmud learning for adults who had been underserved. Scholarly old hands joined Shiurim and Yerushalmi and Daf Yomi. We were at the forefront of producing Hespedim for so many stalwarts of Torah and Avoda who passed away during the height of the Magefa. These presentations brought comfort and appreciation to the bereaved of our people. The platform routinely chimed in on the relevant issues and upsetting scandals of the day from a rabbinic perspective. We even offered options for healthy, life-affirming entertainment in a world bowled over by streaming services. With downloads approaching the million mark and an archival library numbering in the thousands, the Yeshiva of Newark podcast has been striving to continuously upgrade our content, professionalize our audio sound, along with altering approaches in light of much appreciated listener feedback. I firmly believe that a niche has been carved out that resonates with many on the wide spectrum of observant Jews. This explains why we continually rank high in independent online lists of top yeshiva podcasts. This proud edifice I've described is in real danger of toppling and disappearing. We need the help of our listeners to continue to record and edit, to promote the product that has been a balm, an instructor to so many. Just $36 as a minimum donation from 1,000 of you out there will keep us afloat as a new arc of straight, intelligent, humorous discussion, lectures, debate, and inquiry, while the destructive waters of ignorance and identity politics, cyberbullying, crash around us. Your generous contributions will seal and galvanize this arc till it comes to a satisfying rest in an era of B'loi Ha'aretz Deya, heralding Mashiach, B'mheira, B'yameinu, Amen.
Shalom, this is a share that was given 5 years ago. It's called Megillah B'tzibur, Individuality in a Crowd, and it deals with the Machlokas, the Chazon Ish, the Brisker Rav. It's, I believe, a shear that has a number of important points that go beyond Purim and beyond Kriyas HaMegillah in terms of our whole attitude towards communal prayer and in generally what it means to be a tzibur. I hope you appreciate it.
So I want to examine the idea of Megillah B'tzibur. And I guess the first thing is to be surprised. When we talk about Megillah B'tzibur, people know that what's the biggest night of the year? Everybody, people you never see ever. Again, I don't know if your community, but there's people you hardly ever see, but they're there, Purim night, right? When Purim night comes, Megillah B'layla, it's like L'roi V'madres Melech. The idea of Tzibur seems to be stronger on Purim almost than it is, it rivals the Yom Neroyim, the way everybody shows up on Purim. And of course, it's a wonderful time to come. People in their costumes and their simcha. And yet, it's interesting in Shulchan Aruch, when you think about the chayva of Megillah, even though we're Mavatlan, Talmud Torah, and Shiram Kavuim, and there's an idea of going Barov Madras Melech, when you take a look in Shulchan Aruch itself, and it wasn't attached to the email, but everybody who has a Shulchan Aruch can see, it's at the end of Simen Tov Reish Tzadi, after it's already talked about how the Megillah is supposed to be read, and it's not up on the board here, but I'll read it to you. It says, Megillah b'yudal v'tezvav, tzorech l'achzer achar asorah. Tzorech l'achzer. In other words, the idea of Megillah is, if you can, try to get a minion. In other words, tzorech l'achzer, you have to invest energy. So even though you know how to read the Megillah, you have a kosher Megillah in front of you, the halacha is that if it's on Yudal and Tezvav, which are the prime days in Eretz, you know, in Yerushalayim, we'll just use Yerushalayim as quick, a shorthand. You know what I mean. You already some call from Chaim that have walls, sometimes Yeshua Ben Nun. I'm just going to say Yerushalayim. There are other cities too. I don't want to get into that. I'm just going to say Yerushalayim and outside of Yerushalayim. Okay. So in Yerushalayim and outside of Yerushalayim, you have to push yourself to try to find 10 people. That's the halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. I want you to understand what I just read. That this is, that it's a b'dieved kriya. In other words, if you can't find it, okay. But lamaisa, you have to energize yourself to do whatever you can to find a tzibur. Doesn't say, right? Now, right after that, the Ramah has two bombs, okay? Here's the first bomb of the Ramah. Yeshu yistape kim noshim etzarfes la'asor. So first of all, you see right away, we're not talking about a minion, we're not talking about you need as 10 zechorim in order to be mishtatef in Kedushas Hashem, that you need 10 adults, right, and 10 males. Ramah says that women are chayiv. Maybe this whole din, and he brings it from the Agos Hashri. So we see right away, first of all, again, the placement of the halacha shows us that it's not even the fundamental aspect of Kriyas HaMegillah. Tzibur is not the fundamental aspect. You need to do what you can to find it. The second thing is, you see that the tzibur that we're talking about is possibly women as well. In other words, anyone who's mechuyev, right? Yeshli stopik. So the goyin and the Be'er HaGro'ah, again, I'm sorry we didn't attach it to the sheets. Again, I was running a little bit late. I basically switched topics at the end, so you'll have to, you can tell by, there weren't 20 attachments today. There was only about 7 or 8. But the Goyin actually says, what's the suffix of whether women are shayach? Not because there's a suffix whether women created seaboard for a minion in order to have a seaboard that chops the chiv of tefillah b'tzibur or even kriyas hatera, because maybe there's an inyan of tznius not to have women and men together. But really, meikar adin, yeah, it's people that are mechuyev in the people that are mechuyev in the kriya. So people that are mechuyev in the kriya, that's called the tzibur that we're talking about, right? That's called, and it's not even tzibur. The lashon of the Shulchan Aruch is asora. Tzorech l'achzer achar asora. It doesn't say tzorech l'achzer achar minyan or achar tzibur. 10. Because, right, so it sounds right away that it's an idea of pirsum. Okay. Let's move on. And this, I thought, was a very important piece of the Ramah right afterwards. And again, I'm sorry you don't have it in front of you. I'll try to be as clear as I can on it. Let's say in the city, the kriya happened. There was a yochid who couldn't be there. So I have to tell you, it's going to happen to me this year. I accepted upon myself the responsibility to watch over a certain plant in Avenel that makes kugels and other things like that. I know some of you probably have the benefit of eating it sometime. Classic cooking. They make great kugels and stuff. That's a plug for them. I don't know. And they, OU's, the OU's Hashgacha, there are people who think the OU's Hashgacha is like cow. I'm telling you, they are more chomer than almost any of the other kashrus organizations. I can tell you that because I work for many kashrus organizations. And I can tell you the OU has kpedus and aloha that other organizations don't have. And in terms of how much you need to be there, again, I don't even wait to laz on the other hashgachas. I'm just telling you, if someone says OU, I'm not going to eat it. You should realize OU is especially, again, the years I've been connected with them, and especially in the last 5 or 7 years, the Chumras, and they are so mocked, but they don't want anybody to leave there, even to go out for Kriyas HaMegillah, because there's production that's going on. There might be a change from Parev to Milichik, and even though there's Mirsas and there's cameras, and you could run out, no, They want the mashgiach to be there because production is going on. They might need something. Not about the ovens turning on. That's another zach. But good, because they're going to be. But there might be a changeover. Good. So in this situation, they asked me to basically stay till late on Tainus Esther, where I would miss Megillah B'Tzibur.
Wow.
So. And the OU said it, right? I said, well, can't I leave, like, for 90 minutes and come back? We can be soymach on Mirsas. We can be soymach on the fact that there's cameras and they know I could come back. I'm not going to tell them how long I'm going for. These are all coolers than many hashgochas rely on. Cameras in the sense that you might come back. But no, the OU is very, very machbid on this. They want to have somebody there. So somebody's got to miss lading. Somebody's got to miss lading. Now, and there are places, of course, in Brooklyn and others, where there's Kriya by the hour, right? Where, right? There's places where, like Chabad, I think they have, like, all through the night, somebody's being, what? Shabbos. Shabbos. Right. I'm not sure if I'm gonna go drive over to Brooklyn to go. I have a Megillah that's in my house. But I wanted Arlozach on this Ramah. Let's see what he says. So, Imkaroy Se B'Tzibur. There was a Kriya B'Tzibur. Ve'eza Yochid Lohi Shema'o. And there was one yochid who, because the OU, whatever it was, a person working in a hospital, right? That there was a doctor. He couldn't get to the kriya. No, yuchal ikroisa fiul katchila biyochid. He doesn't have to come and be. Oh, I got to go to Brooklyn. I got to find 10 other people. I got to go on my WhatsApp group and say, hey, I missed lading. Anybody else want to come? Can you come for 9 minutes? Can you come for 30 minutes so I can read the Megillah? No, you don't need to do that. In other words, once again. Normally, the Shulchan Aruch says that you have to be machzer achar asara. That if you didn't, that if you want to read the Megillah on the 14th or 15th, you need to make big efforts to get a minyan, to get an asara. However, if the laning already occurred in the city, since it was already done, you can just read biyachidus. Right? Even though your laning wasn't that way, but there already was the piersim in the city. There was already a laning that was done with a piersim, so therefore you don't need to do anything more. Okay. So, that was an interesting halacha. I should tell you that the Mishneh Berurah quotes the Yad Ephraim, which I have here. Yad Ephraim feels that shita should not be accepted with halacha. But it's interesting that what happened, again, I understand that b'di'evit, if you can't find a minion, so you relay without a minion. But here, you're not even mechuyev to even make the effort. Oh, so in my situation, okay, in Avondale, that's where I'm going to be with the Hashgacha. I live in Elizabeth, as you know. Elizabeth had people that laned. I don't need to worry about it. I don't even have to feel nebuch. I had a b'di'evit kriya. Because there was laning, but b'tzibur, that's enough. I don't have to make the effort to go find it. Which would mean, l'chor, anywhere in Brooklyn, any place in Muncie, right? I don't know if in Newark, but some, right? But any place that there was a laning that was done, a yachid who, on Shulfan Givon, right? He got up late on Purim morning. He doesn't have to run, according to the sheet, he doesn't have to run to find a minion. Because they were chorer b'tzibur already. Right? You don't even have to feel bad. Because it's not, oh, I missed the Megillah lady. No, you didn't. You missed Megillah lady. Megillah lady, there's the halal. You don't even have to feel you did a b'di'evit. Right? Now, which really brings into all this halacha that I just read, brings into perspective, what is b'chalal, again, this idea of chayvas tzibur? Clearly, again, one interesting parallel is, you know, there's if you took a look at what I put over here, I hope it's going to come up. This is a great little thing. We live in a world of alonim. We live in a world that I don't know, the Seamus vaults are going to be full, and, you know, in 200 years they're going to see, like, an incredible amount of Seamus from all these Torah Alonim come out. There's probably 350 or 400 or more that come out every week. And how do you know, I don't know, you probably have it in your shuls as well, in English and in Hebrew. It's like an incredible amount of stuff. So if coming to the shir is given you a sense that perhaps I'm somewhat of a connoisseur. I like this one. I don't like every page of it, but this is short and to the point, and it has one of my heroes, of course, Rebbe Yashiv. So you can see here, here's Rebbe Yashiv right there, the typical Rebbe Yashiv pose. And this is, it comes out, it's called Penina Ish. And you have here Psochim from a, first you have little nice things on the parsha, and it doesn't overload you. And then you have halachos. And again, you can find this other places, but again, you want from an alon, you want to have it, you want to have it, biyodecha, chretzim da aloyim, right? This is, this is the same, the Penina Ish from Rebbe Yashiv. It's very gishmak, very gishmak. In other words, it's got enough substance that you don't feel you're wasting your time with something. On the other hand, you realize that again, it's, again, you're gonna go back, you're not gonna, it's not gonna take you away from the Kriyas HaTorah and everything else you have to do. But take a look at Rebbe Yashiv, a couple of points from Rebbe Yashiv here that I think are connected. So first of all, this is an interesting thing. He says, Rabbeinu Ayoshev v'kriyas ha-megillah. Rabbi Yashiv's minig was to sit for kriyas ha-megillah. So the people asked him, Kishanishol, v'yeshinyin la'amay v'kriyas ha-megillah, la'elo anoyegim la'amay v'kriyas ha-teirah. We know there are people that stand for kriyas ha-teirah. Let's have a show of hands here. How many people stand for kriyas ha-teirah? Okay, David? David? Mark? Okay? Okay. Okay. We know, I remember a hearing that Rav Salvechik Zatzal, one of the things that he was once Mater Neder for on Erev Shoshana was that he was thinking very strongly to be Mahader to always stand during Kriyas HaTeira. Then he was getting weak, he couldn't stand. Meaning, it's definitely a hidur to stand. With Arizal, Dafka didn't stand, as we know. But they asked Rabbi Yashiv, well, if someone already has this minik to stand for Kriyas HaTorah, maybe should stand for the Megillah. Okay. Do you see people in Shul standing by the Megillah, by the way? You see people stand? There are people. Right, they stand up, right, holding their cloth. They don't, right? Right. So it's interesting that Rabbi Yashiv said that Ein Shum Kesher Beneim. Now, why would you think why? And he explains very nicely in the notes over here. Because what's the idea of standing by Kriyas HaTorah? Maimon Har Sinai. But that's not what Megillah reading is. Right. Megillah reading is not a takona of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's like hearing the Megillah. Again, not a bad. That's a nice drash. That's a nice drash. But ultimately, it's about listening to a story. That's what it's about. And comprehending. And Rabbi Yashiv understood that the same way you saw him sitting when he was learning, you absorb something better when you sit. The Yishav Adas, again, there was a time, maybe people learned standing up. Rabbi Yashiv felt there was nothing, if I cared, you might actually be going against the purpose. The whole purpose is to comprehend and listen and keep focused. If standing is going to like sort of like put you in, right? When I sit, okay, I'm concentrating. So he says, there's no oymen me'ar Sinai, right? You take a look over here, brings from the Bach. You can see here on the bottom here. He says that kibu kibus of bar Sinai, you call Yisrael oymdim. So in other words, Moshe said, I stood between you and the Rabbeinu Shalom. Of course, the Rabbeinu Shalom is everywhere and, right? But you see, Ani Oimed, I stood between you and Hashem, is the indicator everybody was standing, right? That the Nei Yisroel were standing, right? Right, but it could be, but it could be, again, yeah, and Naftaim, that's the part, whether Shemekainah could work for your physical, whether Shemekainah works for the physical situation or only for the words. Akopanim, the Chumrah is based on the fact, like David said, I'm at Har Sinai now. I'm listening to the Torah again. I'm standing up. By the way, Rabbi Yashiv didn't stand up for Oz Yashir. He didn't stand up for Aseres HaDibrois, like the Tshuvas HaRambam. He held it was a tos. He says, even though Rabbi Yashiv felt that Kriyas HaTorah is it, he himself was, again, he understood people that did it, but he himself sat for Aseres HaDibrois, sat for Oz Yashir, like he didn't, right? And he felt that this idea of elevating one part of the Torah over another. It was incorrect. That's a subject for a different discussion about Rabbi Yashiv. The point is that Megillah is not what we think it is. It's not like Kriyas HaTorah. Now, someone asked him, maybe it's like Halil, because we know the Gemara says that in a way, Kriyasa du Hilula. And as he brings here in a footnote, there is a Chassam Sefer that wonders, since there's a sheet that holds by Halil, you should stand up. Then maybe when you read the Megillah, which is sort of like a Halil to Hashem, it's like a praise to God. The stories itself, even though it's a story, it represents a Halil. Maybe one should stand up. So I like Rebbe Yashiv's response here. He says, look at this. Ein shum inyan la'amleit. Bittul sarazu l'gamrei. V'yomar, she'ein shum inyan la'amleit. Chassam Sofer. I'm saying, look, the Chassam Sofer, you know, Rebbe Yashiv had it right. He said, look, okay, Halil, it's like Halil. No, there's ein shum inyan la'amleit. So that already gives us a sense, at least from a Yashiv perspective, the Kriyas HaMegillah, as you said, is the experience about having, it's not like a kiyum, like for example, let's say we don't have 10 people together, you could say the chi of Kriyas HaTorah doesn't even start, right? No machlekes whether Kriyas HaTorah is a chayvas yochid or a chayvas tzibur. The takona Moshe Rabbeinu made that you have to read the Torah every Shabbos. But one thing is clear: that if you don't have the 10 people, the chayva isn't really in this world yet. It's potentially here if you get them. Once you have the 10, that's yoitzer the chiyuv. And then you could wonder, but when I do it, this is the machlekes rishonim that everybody knows about. When I'm mekayim Kriyas HaTorah, when I have 10, is it my individual chiyuv that, you hear what I'm saying? It's an individual chiyuv that only developed when I have the 10 people to able to facilitate it? Or is it a chayva of the tzibur itself? Because once I have 10 and I have a tzibur, so now there becomes a chayva of Kriyas HaTorah. But the yochid is individually not machuyim and Kriyas HaTorah. So that's a famous machlekes rishonim, and it was a machlekes between Reb Chaim Brisker, Rebellia Prajaner, is machutin, whether Kriyas HaTorah was a chayva of the yochid. They say Reb Chaim, very famously, as you know, he got off the train, he was on his way to Varsha, he said, no, I gotta get off, because I missed Kriyas HaTorah, because we had to get the train early, and it's a chayvas yochid, I have to go find a place, and maybe we can find a shul, and there's other people who missed laning, and he did a whole bedik in order to lane, because he felt it was a chayvas yochid. Okay. My point, though, is like this. That again, Ravel Prajana felt that it was a chayvas tzibur. Once the tzibur does it, it's sort of similar to what we said before, that the yochid doesn't have to worry. But it's different than Megillah, even in a greater way. The tzibur, whether it's creates the chiyuv of Kriyas HaTorah, or it's the means for you as a yochid to be mekayim Kriyas HaTorah, Megillah is not like that in any way. Megillah's chov is on you as an individual. Again, how did that happen? That's the takona of how all mitzvahs the Rabbanan work, acceptance by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. However it works, our responsibility, men and women, to either read or hear Kriyas HaMegillah is not like Kriyas HaTorah in any way. It's not like, oh, we have a tzibur, now we're mechuyev. No, and it's not about Kedushas Hashem. It's not about being Mekadosh Hashem Berabim, even though we're being Mahalil. As Rabbi Yashiv looks at it, and I think the halacha bears this out, it's basically, it's a chayvas yochid. So what's the maila of the tzibur bechlal? What's the maila of the tzibur bechlal? So lechora, the maila of the tzibur is, like, it's not a din in tzibur, it's a din in asara. Because asara creates pirsum. 10 people, even though, right, the same way, when 10 people, the same way we, it's not a din in Kiddush Hashem, but why is Kiddush Hashem ba'asara? Because 10 people create knowledge about something, right? When there's 10 people, so 10 people are mafarsim, the idea, it makes it something very public, very known. The takon of Kriyas HaMegillah was connected with the idea, if possible, to do it with a pirsum, that people should know about it. Something you do, look, Baruch Hashem, today, I didn't think we were going to have a big shiur today, because the email came out so late. Baruch Hashem, we got 10. So we have people, 10, 15 people, that creates pirsum. But it's not a din, let me say it better, it's not a din in a chayvas tzibur. It's a din in piersim. Here's an afkamina that Rav Sternbach comes up with, which I think is very solid. Let's say you have nine people that have already read the Megillah. And they happen to be sitting around, and the guy who was doing the Ashkocha wasn't able to be there. And he shows up, and you have the other nine people that already heard the Megillah, and they've already been Makayim their mitzvah, whether at night or during the day. So, Lamaisa, he could do it in front of them, and that would be a kiyum of Asara, which is very different, because in davening, there's a machlekas, whether you're pois or not, shema, if everybody else had done, you need, hey, have six people daven yet? Or you have six people? Right? That's not true by Megillah. By Megillah, it's a din, in the amount of people around is only really about the means of making a piersum. It's not about, even though no one denies that there's and even Rav Amhadras Melech, is really, as you can see, it enhances the quality of the mitzvah, and especially when it comes to Kriyas Megillah, because now there is a greater piersum of this idea. Now, the Rambam, you would expect the Rambam to mention this idea of Kriyas Megillah B'tzibur. He actually mentions it in a very oblique way. Even though he starts off Hilchas Megillah, and again, I apologize for not putting all the Meir Makaymas on the email, but you'll see we'll get to a pretty geshmak one very soon. So, the Rambam in Perek Rishon of Hilchas Megillah, he mentions how important the mitzvah is, and he talks about your mevatel Talmud Torah and your ein lecha davar shenitcha, and of course, the implication is that many people are going. But he doesn't mention the fact here at all that it has to be done b'tzibur, or it's a dinin rabim. He only mentions it in a very oblique way, which I'll show you right here. So he mentions that if it's an imperic aleph, the chol elu shemakdimim v'keirin kaidim yudalit. Everybody knows the first Mishnah in Megillah if you've tried it. Megillah nikras b'dal of your days. Remember, you give me yadal at tazvav. What? Lepachas v'yaseh. Very good. So we know that those takonas, which some of it's not so relevant anymore, is that there were Megillah reading was done sometimes earlier than the usual days, and this was a means, as we know, to allow people who need to nebuch be poishte yad on Purim to be able to hear the Megillah, and this way they could be ready on the 14th and the 15th to do their other job for their parnosa, for their family, or whatever. So that is called a Megillah reading, but it's not really Purim, but it's under the umbrella of Purim in a way. So on this, the Rambam says, it's the only place the Rambam says is ko elu shemagdimen v'kairin kaidim yudalid. So meaning those people who read early need to have 10 with them. It doesn't say that everybody who reads the Megillah yishtadel to find a minion. When the Rambam talks about the idea of an asara, listen to the context. It's basically not even Purim yet. It's the 11th of Adar. It's the 12th of Adar. It's not really Purim. But we made sort of a mini Purim, at least for the mitzvah, for these people from the kfarim, these people from the small areas, the poor people, the people that the takana was made for. So since, let's think what the svar is, since there's no Purim going on, forget about the wild kind of people running around in masks and stuff like that, and being drunk, we're talking about that. But there's nobody doing Mishloach Manos, there's nobody doing Matanos of Yayin, right? It's sort of Purim only in their world. Everybody else, it's a business day. Everybody else is shopping, maybe, not for this, but for Purim. For them, that's where there's a din that they need to do in Basara. Why? Because otherwise, if you don't have the people there, what sort of Purim was it? It's a guy sitting in a room reading a Megillah? That's not enough. But on a Purim, you don't really need that, according to the Rambam. When it's Purim, and it's Purim outside, so it's almost like, I mentioned before the Shita that the Ramah brings, which is if they reign in the city already, so we had our public Megillah reigning already. So now the guy who comes back from Avanel from the Ashgacha can read; he doesn't have to worry. From the Rambam, it's even further. From the Rambam, you see that when Purim is Purim, and everybody knows it's Purim, and everybody is being Isaac and Shlachmanis and the mitzvahs, so the idea of having a tzibur or asara is unnecessary because it's Purim, and that's the Purim itself. There might only be three people with me, there might only be one person with me, but I feel the sense of Purim. Why do you think I'm taking this Megillah out? Purim's all around me, and I'm reading the Megillah. But it's not like, oh, that wasn't a good Megillah reading. According to the Rambam, it was. Right? The whole din of Asar is different. Right? So, it's interesting, when we come to this next point, which is the Machlekes, it's actually, we're going to put, I hate putting Rabbi Yashiv on this side, it's almost an unfair fight already, but this is the standoff that I mentioned between the Chazon Ish and the Brisker Rav, and I have to tell you that the Briskers, even this morning, okay, again, a little parenthesis thing. Why did the email come out so late? Because I went to a minion that was supposed to start at 8:15 or 8:10, and the person who starts Pesukei Dezimra didn't come until 8:35, 8:40, and I was sitting there and waiting. So I was looking this stuff up, After Minyan, the Mashkiach of this yeshiva, I don't want to say where it is, but you can probably guess, the Mashkiach of this yeshiva said to me, I see you're working on something. Can you tell me? I said, look, I got to run because I got to get this email out because it's for the boss's, the son, the grandson. I want to make sure everybody gets it. But okay, but you're working on something. Let me hear it before you go. So I told him about this, what I'm about to tell you now. And he says, I don't believe it. I don't believe that's what the Brisk Rav held. And I realized that because I learned in Brisk, and it's not that way. So this is a controversial statement from the Brisk Rav. That's Rav Chaim, who I mentioned before, his son. Rav Chaim was also the Rav in Brisk. But there needed to be a way to distinguish between Rav Chaim and his son. They didn't want to cause, say, Rav Velvel, which is the way Rav Chaim spoke about his son, Rav Yitzchak Zev. A Velvel is a wolfie, right? A Zev is a wolf. And Velvel is Yiddish for a wolf. And just like I'm a Vremo, he's Velvel, right? I'm a right? Velvel, he's little wolfy, right? So even though, again, people felt, how can you call Rabbi Yitzchak Soloveitchik? He was so brilliant and tall and incredible and so machpin. You're going to call him Rav Velvel, right? So Rabbi Yitzchak Zev, we're going to call him, he was the Rav in Brisk, and the last Rav in Brisk after till the Holocaust, so he becomes known, so just for people to know, Rav Chaim was also the Brisk Rav, right? Rav Chaim, and so was the Brisk Rav's grandfather, the original Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, but the Brisk Rav is always, just to let you know, the Brisk Rav is always Rabbi Yitzchak Zev.
Who was the Beis Halevi?
So the Beis Halevi was his grandfather.
Rav Chaim's father?
It was Rav Chaim's father, right. But they were all Rabbanim and Brisk. They were all Rabbanim and Brisk. So they were all going to be called Brisker Rav, right? And the Bach was also the Rav and Brisk. So I'm saying, but the Brisker Rav, when you hear it, just to let everybody know, again, we haven't been Eretz Yisrael, who knows that, but it's the Brisker Rav, Heist Rav Velvel, Rav Yitzchak Zev. So this person tell you this morning, when I told him what I'm about to tell you, he said, I don't believe it. And I had an iPhone. He took out his flip phone and he took a picture of my iPhone. It was like, how they can see, right? He took out his flip phone to take a picture of what I was showing him on my iPhone. So it was like,
That's a workaround for a smartphone.
Yeah. All right. So here it is. Okay. So here it is, the Machlekes, Rav Eliashiv, the Chazon Ish, and the Brisker Rav, about what does it mean. So take a look. So first of all, the minute from Rabbi Yashiv, Rabbeinu Yekayre ba'atzmai mitoich Megillah Kshera. That just like, and again, it's brought by the Mishnah Berurah four times he mentions how important it is to have a Megillah, right? That you who are listening, but Zibor, should have a klaf, right? And le'yistamech avashmiya me'ashatz. Now, Gam kishiyoyim tezvov chal yoyis b'shabbos. Even if it turns out, like you have an Eretz Yisrael sometimes, we call it, right, the Purim Mishulish, when you have the 15th of Adar coming out on Shabbos, right? So then, when, of course, the B'nai Yerushalayim read, Yerushalayim read on Erev Shabbos. Excuse me. They have a Suda on Sunday. They don't have a Suda on Shabbos. They do a little bit more. But Sunday is the...
Switch portions.
What?
You switch portions.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. There's an Indian of... Right. You're right. To be Machmir. Valkopanim, everybody, your Shalmis, read on the 14th. So the reason why there's an issue is because the Gemara actually has a Machlekes, Rav Asi and Rav, and Tafhei, I believe, whether this question, whether Kriyas HaMegillah needs a tzibur or not. So I sort of like hid that from you. You know, I started with the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, but I sort of hid from you that the Gemara actually does discuss it. The Rambam doesn't paskin like those Rav and Rav Asi, because the Rambam paskins like Rav Yochanan on the Gemara and Daf Yutes, which again, if I would have started that way, we wouldn't have gotten to this meet. So there is a discussion, there is an opinion of an Amora that Megillah needs tzibur. So Rav said that Bismano it doesn't need tzibur, but Shaloi Bismano it needs tzibur. Now, we saw an example of that in the Rambam a couple minutes ago. What does Shaloi Bismano mean? One of those 11 and 12 days. But maybe Shaloi Bismano also means when the Yerushalmis read on the 14th. That's not their Zman. So, and that's why many Yerushalmis, so even though they're reading on the 14th, they're going to read with a tzibur. So now let's go back to this point. So even on a day when there's a chayvas tzibur, still Rabbi Yashiv felt, as a Yerushalmi reading on the 14th, I'm going to have my Megillah. Gam kishuyim tazvav chaliyos b'shabbos. Sha'oz magdim mekreis b'erev Shabbos havi Megillah shalei b'zmano. V'ileka asora ein mevorachin. That's the psak of the Paiskim. It's a sofek brocha. In other words, it's a machlekes whether that's called bizman or shalei bizmana. Again, I can't get into the big, but you can figure out why it's different than those people reading on 12 and 13, right? Because, true, normally your Shalmi is not doing what he, on the 14th, he's usually, it's not Purim for him, but it's Purim for the rest of the world. So unlike 11 and 12, which is sort of like, hey, this isn't really Purim, the 14th is Purim. For anyone, for the B'nai Brakers, for anybody else. So there's some say that you don't need a Asara, even if you're a Yerushalmi. So if you don't have a minyan, the Hachra of the Paiskim is you don't make a Bracha. Because it could be that's called Shalei Bizmano, and without Asara, you don't make a Bracha. So what did Rabbi Yashiv do then? Kore ba'atzmei mitoich Megillah. He read from a Megillah, just like he always did. He didn't worry about this that people said over from the name of the Briskerov. Shehikpid. What was the Briskerov's kpeda? The Briskerov, unlike what the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Prima Gadim, according to the Shmua, and I told you this morning, this person jumped up and down and said it's not true. But according to the Shmua about what the Briskerov held, the Briskerov did not, when he would listen to the Megillah reading in a tzibur, he had a kosher Megillah, but he would not read together. His mouth would be shut. He didn't read quietly along with the Balkeire. Why? Tayidei zeh epsher shele yishma mi balakriya. The Briskerov felt that what's happening when you've got your own book and you're reading your own book. So again, this gets into what does it mean to be in a tzibur and doing your own thing, individuality in the crowd, so to speak. The Mishnah Berurah, the Prima Gadim, and Rav Yashiv felt the best way you can be concentrating is actually, first of all, you don't want to miss words, you have the Megillah. But you should also be saying the words, not loud enough to disturb someone else, but you should be saying it to yourself. And you're still, in a way, part of whatever the tzibur situation. The Prisker Rav clearly held that when you have 10 people together, you got to worry. Because what happens is that you start going into your own world. Even though you're trying to sort of keep up, when you read, what happens is that you are not from the Tzibur anymore. Masha Karba Atzmo Yeshlachsha Shiyotze Kiyochit, the Loka Tzibur. Because the Prisker Rav held, Kriya Basara Hakavona She'echad Kere Umoitzi Acherim. That's what Tzibur is. So the Prisker Rav, despite the Rambams and everything that I've shown you, felt that when you have 10, it isn't just a way to have it a foursome, but you actually have a kiyum of a tzibur. That the Mikra Megillah, despite all the sources that I've shown you, the Prisker Rav felt that when you have 10, it's a tzibur kiyum. And in order for it to be a tzibur, you know the way tzibur works? The way tzibur works is one person says it, and everybody else listens.
Shamei
Kohanah? A real Shamei Kohanah. To the point is, and it's a little bit different even than that, Yoni. There's a famous piece in the Chiddush HaGrach. It's not printed in the Sefer on the Rambam, but it's one of the most important pieces, and I tell this to people all the time. And again, we should maybe be more makbet on this in our own davening here. There's the Prisker Rav said there's two dinim. There's one din of tefillah bitzibur. And that's what we do with the silent Shemoneh Esrei. That's tefillah belachash. And we're all, of course, we might start with the same, but we all daven at our own pace. We all, some of us are going to stop more for Rifa'enu. Some of us will stop more in Baruch Aleinu. Some of us more in Shemak Aleinu. Some of us are still in Ovois. But that's called tefillah bitzibur. But that's not enough. The Prisker Rav held. There's also something called tefillas hatzibur. There's the tefillah that the tzibur does, and that's only possible if you are listening. Now the siddur can help you follow the words, but you should be looking in the siddur or listening. And obviously, the amen that you say is an amen to what you've heard and understood, and that can only be done. The Prisker Rav held, if you're not involved, you're not moving your lips. If you start moving your lips, you're already moving away from that man who represents the tzibur. It's you. And all of us, really, in many ways, especially in an era of smartphones we just talked about, and we pick something up. Again, you think about, I'm not even talking about the rabbonim who take out svarim during chazaras hashatz and things like that because they have to prepare a shir or something. I'm talking about, in general, you know, looking around, you know. Okay, my Shemoneh Esrei is over. Let me see who's in shul today, right? You know, you turn around and you say, well, he's here. Well, I haven't seen him in a while. Yeah, I got to make sure to talk to him on the way out. Yeah, okay, yeah, good. Yeah, that's a nice tie that guy's wearing. Yeah, blue shirt, too. Wow, not bad. Not bad. I got to tell him about that later, right? I'm not talking about not even concentrating. Even if you would be, the point is to actually be connected. And of course, the Prisker Rav was very makbet, as we also know, about another kiyum of tzibur, which of course is done on Rosh Hashanah. And those you might know what I'm talking about. And again, another thing where people pretty much space out, which is the Chazaras HaShatz. I'm not talking about singing the Chol Maminim. I'm talking about listening to the Brachos al Seder HaTekiyos. The Prisker Rav felt that what you should be doing during that period, and everybody's all exhausted. They did a 45-minute Shemoneh Esrei, and they're like, oh, right, this. And now there's some singing, and now many times even the chazan will go on to super speed. You ever notice that? Like, v'nemar, v'nemar, right? And the psukim start coming fast and furious, unless he's got a good song for it, right? And then all of a sudden, you know, there's a bunch of people singing. Briskov says, no, that's where the tzibur needs to listen. That's the tzibur, the chazan is being motzi you, and you've got to listen to every bracha, and you've got to count to know what's going on. That's the concentration of tefillah. Again, so three areas where the Prisker Rav is consistent. Number one, where we're starting, by Megillah reading. By Megillah reading, okay, I'm not saying you shouldn't have a kosher Megillah, but don't start reading along. You've got it, maybe to hold your place. But basically, it's the Baal Kerei that you're listening to, and by doing that, you are now part of the tzibur. Every single day in davening we do that. And that's what, according to Prisker Rav, you should be doing. Okay? And third of all, of course, a day that everybody wants to daven properly on Rosh Hashanah and stuff like that, it's all basically, the way I'm looking at it, the same idea. Now, it's interesting that that's a very elevated version of that. And even though a person, I believe, and I'm not going to engage in psychology here, but someone like the Brisker Rav, who was very disciplined and firm in the way he looked at things, you could see the type of self-control that's necessary. What's interesting is that the Chazon Ish and Rabbi Yashiv and Rav Moshe as well, in a famous tshuva, understand that we never really get it right. We're always sort of spacing. We're sort of always like going back into ourselves. We're not malachim that can always be omeid and be able to concentrate. There's always a sense of, as much as we try, we're not. And in fact, the Chazon Ish writes clearly when it comes to the chova, and I'll show you right here, the chova of what does it mean for Kriyas Megillah and for davening. He says it right clearly here, the Chazon Ish. I even get a sense, if the Brisker Rav said it, it might have been in response to the Chazon Ish. We know that there was, I'm not saying there was no love lost between them, but if somebody, again, we know that the Chazon Ish had a very different perspective than the Briskers. Take a look here at this last piece from the Chazon Ish. He says, Din Asara eino dafke be'echad koirei v'tisha shoymen. Asara doesn't mean one person reads and nine listen. Doesn't that sound familiar? That's the Brisker Rav. Ela afilu kol echad koirei b'megillah shavoy. Everybody can be reading his own Megillah. If you have kavanah to makayim the mitzvah, you yoytze. And take a look what he says here. And then he brings the difference.
Even though the person makes the bracha?
Right.
You're
why? Because, apogav, look at this, Yoni. Apogav de kari wa atzmai? That's called asara. I'm doing my thing, but we're doing it together. We've got a group of people here together as individuals because it's almost impossible for us to be anything else. Right? As much as we try to all concentrate, right? We're all still little people, and that part of us, that individuality part of us, is basically pushing. And therefore, the best you can hope for, the Chazon Ish says, is that we're all doing it pretty much at the same time. And he says here, even though if you would take a look and see where this guy is holding, this guy is three psukim behind the other one. The Balkoire is doing his thing. And he's going at his pace. And everybody else that's reading is reading at a different pace than the Balkeire himself. Can you imagine that? Right? Everybody's got the Megillah, and they're actually completely submitting to what the Brisker Rav was against. No, what's going to happen? You're going to start reading this, and then you're not going to be part of this guy? The Chazon Ish says, even if that happens, which is sort of natural to happen, that's nothing. And therefore, he says, take a look, everybody. In other words, he works back from Megillah, where there is no Din Tzibur, to Tefillah B'Tzibur. Tefillah B'Tzibur too. Kol shekavu b'asachas mikrei Tzibur. Everybody davens. You know, we're going to see it right now. If we're going to go daven mincha, there's one guy who's mizdares. He finishes in 1.5 minutes. Ve'echem mizakev. The other guy finishes in 15. That's still called tefillah b'tzibur. Because he says the whole purpose of a Megillah is pursue meinis, and that's what you have. So basically, what we see here, the Chazon Ish's opinion, is that you're never going to have really, even, because in other words, he brings a raya from the tefillah b'tzibur to the tefillah hatzibur almost. Right. In other words, the same way when it's b'tzibur, nobody's really together. We started together, okay. We're all dedicated here, but then we all become our own people. Similar machlekas, we know a famous machlekas in Rav Moshe and the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim says, okay, tefillah b'tzibur, I know. You got some guy who davens in 90 seconds Shmoneh Esrei, the other guy's 20 minutes, but at least they start the same. At least they start with Baruch Atah Hashem together. That's the Prima Gadim says. They at least have to start always together. Rav Moshe says, no. Even if you have a sort of a dysfunctional, disjointed tzibur, right? And everybody's, this guy's, and people are, as long as the Shmoneh Esrei of any part of those 19 brachas are being said, and everybody is doing something of that, that's called the tzibur. So even though you look at them and everyone's really in his own welt completely, that's called Tzibur, which is really an extension here of the Chazon Ish's approach. And I think, again, this is why I think that it's interesting what the Brisker Rav is demanding, and which, as you could see, Rabbi Yashiv felt, even on the day, no. In fact, I'll just tell you one other Hayra from Rabbi Yashiv, will stop with this. Rabbi Yashiv actually felt, even though in Shulchan Aruch it says that when the Baal Kerei is reading, you should be careful not to, when he's reading for you, you don't want to be mavalvel, and maybe you should just be quiet. Rabbi Yashiv says, if you need to concentrate, then that's fine. In other words, we know that concentration is a difficult thing. And Rabbi Yashiv said, even if somebody, you space out, Imam speaks about this. What about a person after he read the Megillah? He knows, you know, I don't know if I was concentrating the whole time. I know there were certain things there which I can't remember if I heard it. So he says, as long as you had your hand on the place, as long as you're reading, he says, that's enough. Concentration is also something which is human. And there's going to be, right? Look, I've been speaking here for close to an hour. How many people have been concentrating on everything I'm saying? 100%. I don't expect that. 100%. But the point is, that's called, we're all together. So Rabbi Yashiv has, and the Chazon Ish and others, had, I think, this more human understanding of what a tzibur is and what concentration b'chlal is. We do our best. We set up the structure. But to actually fulfill that, we have to realize we're always, in a sense, individuals in a way that it's almost impossible to be ma'akev. And maybe, in fact, one could even say even better. Maybe we don't even want to be that crowd mentality. What the Brisker Rav wants us to be is definitely something difficult, but is it something we should always stay that way? Maybe it's actually better that we actually retain that individuality, which allows us really to interact with each other in a way that's meaningful, and we can learn from each yochid, as opposed to this sort of like, I wouldn't call it a cult mentality, but the type of mentality where we mavato ourselves to there. The Brisker Rav's not saying you shouldn't be an individual, but at least whenever there's a tzibur, that's what you're mechuyev to be. Anyway, I'll cope on him, so we should be zoche, when we get to Kriyas HaMegillah, not to be too nervous about it, and to try to, again, to be the mefarsim, the nes, as great.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope you liked what you heard. If you did, please take a moment to share this or any of the many episodes available on our platform with friends in order to help grow our community. Until next time, Shalom.